prayer. Heavenly Father, we praise you for our Lord Jesus. We praise you that he came to this earth to save us from our sins. We've just finished celebrating this at Christmas season. Father, we thank you that he was willing to stoop that low. We stand amazed in his presence, that he would leave the glories of heaven and come down here, live among us of all things to do. But he loves us that much. You love us that much. And we praise you that because of what he did, because of his death on the cross and his resurrection, we have salvation today if we have trusted in him. Father, I pray that everyone here today knows Jesus. And if someone is here today who does not, we pray that they would understand the gospel message, the good news, that Christ died to save him or her from their sins, and that if they will just call on his name, put their trust in him, he will save them and give them eternal life for sure and abundant life for here and now. And Father, we pray that you would make that gospel clear today. And for all of us as believers, you have a message for us today. We pray that we would hear from your Spirit what is needed, that each heart will experience the touch that is needed from you, encouragement, strengthening, challenge. We pray, Father, that the Spirit, by his great power and knowledge, will accomplish that in each of our hearts today. We pray for Pastor as he brings the message. Anoint him with your Spirit and speak through him as we look at the Word together. And Father, may everything that is done in this hour bring honor and glory and praise to your name and to the name of the Lord Jesus. For we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you.
In the scripture, I want to commandments to develop enduring faith. The message today, we're going to be looking at Philippians chapter 1 and beginning at verse number 19. Philippians 1:19. For I know that this shall turn to my salvation through your prayer and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. For to me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not. For I am in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith, that your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ for me by my coming to you again. Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ, that whether I come and see you or else be absent, I may hear of your affairs, that ye stand fast in one spirit, with one mind, striving together for the faith of the gospel, and in nothing terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation, and that of God. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ, not only to believe on him, but also to suffer for his sake, having the same conflict which he saw in me and now here to be in me. May the Lord bless his word to our hearts this morning. All right, let's turn once again to Philippians chapter 1. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Father, how we praise you and thank you for your love, mercy, and grace to us. How we thank you, Lord, for the salvation that you have given to us through our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Lord, that we have the wonderful assurance and hope that someday we will be in your presence forevermore. And we ask you, Lord, to help us all to look to you and find that strength to keep going as we live here in this world. We do pray again this morning that you'll comfort the hearts of those that are grieving the loss of their loved one. Lord, you know how it is, and we pray that you will help each one of them to have that assurance in their hearts that they'll meet again. And Lord, we just thank you for your wonderful presence with us this morning. I can sense here this morning a wonderful feeling in the congregation, and we just pray your blessings upon us as we seek to serve you, as we worship you together. We just thank you, Lord, to know that you're with us. And we pray that you will just meet every need today. We think of those who are ill. We pray that you will undertake for them. I pray for Ken Weber, that you'll continue to work in his life. I pray for others, Lord. You know the need of each one. Nancy Consolo and her family. And I pray for others, Lord, that are still having difficulties. I think of Jane Wagner. I pray for her and her family. And for others that are still grieving, and we pray that you'll meet every need. Lord, we just thank you for your precious word and for this message that we have this morning that I trust will be a comfort and to each one of us, and that we might be blessed by heeding your word and doing your will. Oh Lord, we just pray that you'll guide the church, help us to go forward. We just thank you for each and every one who is here today, and those who cannot be with us, we pray for them as well, that you will strengthen them and meet their needs, and grant that we might all look to you in whatever circumstance we find ourselves, to love you and serve you with all of our hearts. Lord, have mercy upon us, guide us and direct us, lead us. We pray for our country today. Lord, we know that there's a lot of conflict going on, and we just pray, as we think of the government, we pray that they might get things straightened out and be able to lead us in the right direction. We pray, too, about all the violence that we see all around us. We pray, Lord, that somehow we might see more peaceful solutions. And we just thank you, Lord, for your presence and your guidance. And pray that you'd be with those of your people that are being persecuted, that they might be set free from that if possible, and that they might have the grace and strength to go through it. Thank you, Lord, for your presence. In the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Amen. Amen. I was thinking of we saw last week Paul is writing an upbeat letter to thank the church at Philippi for their prayers and their gifts that they had sent to him on several occasions. He said that this was the only church that actually sent him gifts from Philippi. He had a special relationship with them. So he expresses his love for the fellowship that they had together, and especially rejoiced in remembering how they had worked with him in spreading the gospel. He assured them of his prayers for them as they continued to live for Christ and urged them to be faithful witnesses to those who did not know the Lord. Although a prisoner, Paul is filled with joy to know that others are going about preaching the gospel. And now beginning at verse 19, we see Paul looking to the future, his expectation. I found, this is not original with me, I got it off of another preacher, but the title, Ready for Heaven, but Needed on Earth. Okay, this is Paul's testimony here, beginning in verse 19, his expectation. First of all, he says, for I know, he had the assurance that this shall turn to my salvation or my deliverance. He's talking about to get out of prison because he's already saved by the grace of God. But here the word means deliverance through your prayers and the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. So he was looking forward with anticipation to being released from prison through the prayers of God's people, and that he might be able to continue on with the ministry that God had given to him. You know, it's important to pray for people, isn't it? You know, we pray for the missionaries and the work that they're doing. Paul was one of the greatest of missionaries. He went a lot of places and proclaimed the gospel. And now these people were praying for him that he might be released from prison and be able to go about his ministry. You know, this is something that we read about in other places. When Peter was in prison, in Acts chapter 12, we find, and this is kind of, tells how people are, you know. Here we find in this passage, Peter is in prison. Let's read a little bit. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. Peter therefore was kept in prison, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. They must have set up one of those 24-hour things where people sign up, you know, for a certain period of time, and they're praying continually for Peter that he might be released. When Herod would have brought him forth, he's ready to bring him out, the same night Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, bound with two chains, and the keepers before the door kept the prison. And behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, and a light shined in the prison. And he smote Peter on the side and raised him up, saying, "Arise up quickly." And his chains fell off from his hands. And the angel said unto him, "Gird thyself and bind on thy sandals." And so he did. And he saith unto him, "Cast thy garment about thee and follow me." And he went out and followed him, and wist not that it was true, which was done by the angel, but thought he saw a vision. When they were past the first and the second ward, they came unto the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened to them of his own accord. And they went out, passed on through one street, and forthwith the angel departed from him. And when Peter was come to himself, he said, "Now I know of a surety that the Lord has sent his angel and has delivered me out of the hand of Herod and from all the expectation of the people of the Jews." And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. And as Peter knocked at the door of the gate, a damsel came to hearken, named Rhoda. And when she knew Peter's voice, she opened not the gate for gladness, but ran in and told how Peter stood before the gate. And they said unto her, "Thou art mad." But she constantly affirmed that it was even so. Then said they, "It is his angel. He must be dead, you know." But Peter continued knocking, and when they had opened the door and saw him, they were astonished. But he, beckoning unto them with the hand to hold their peace, declared unto them how the Lord had brought him out of the prison. And he said, "Go show these things unto James and to the brethren." And he departed and went into another place. Now these people were praying for what? For Peter to be released from prison, right? What happens? Peter is released from prison. And what do they do? "Oh, good! The Lord answered our prayers." No. They say, "It can't be true. It can't be true. This don't happen." Right? Now, when we pray, do we believe that God's going to answer our prayers? You know? They were so surprised, right? Peter had been released from prison, even though that was the thing that they were constantly praying for. You see? So, we have to have faith when we pray. And yet, God in His grace and mercy answered their prayers, even though they didn't really believe He was going to. So pray anyway. Even if you don't believe it, pray and maybe the Lord will, you know, go ahead and answer. Okay, I just wanted to share that with you. I love that story. It's just so true of human beings, isn't it? You know, here we are so caught up in the situation, and yet we have trouble accepting what God does. He surprises us, doesn't he? Huh? Sometimes. He does. And in his grace and mercy, he answered their prayers. Paul said, I am sure that I'm going to be released through your prayers and through the supply of the Spirit of Jesus Christ. The Lord had assured him that he was going to be released. And this is his expectation, that he will be able to exalt and magnify the Lord Jesus. In verse 20, he says, according to my earnest expectation and my hope, this is my greatest desire, that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. See, he was ready. He was ready to go to heaven, or he was ready to stay on earth. Whatever God chose for him, he wants to magnify and exalt the Lord Jesus. This is his expectation. They tell us that the word expectation in Greek speaks of the eager, intense look which turns away from everything else to fix on one object or desire. See, this is what Paul wanted to do more than anything else, was to exalt and praise the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and to bring others to know him. He says, my hope, Paul says, this is never to be ashamed of Christ and his gospel. And he says over in Romans, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. It doesn't matter who we are. If we believe the gospel, if we trust in Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we have salvation. And the Lord will be with us. Verse 21 is considered to be the key to the whole epistle of Philippians. Paul says, for to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. You see? In this life, to live for Christ. Christ lives in me, he says, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Right? There it is. We have Christ in our life, and then we leave this world and find a far better world out there with him. To live is Christ. To die is gain. That's his testimony, and it would be wonderful if that would be our testimony, wouldn't it? To live is Christ. What is our life? James says it's a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away, right? This life is short. But then we have eternity. We have eternity with the Lord, and we can rejoice in him. To me is live is Christ, to die is gain. This expresses Paul's entire motive and mission, all that he was involved with. He was completely focused on Christ and walking with him. Then we see Paul's dilemma in verse 22. He says, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. Yet what I shall choose, I wot not, or I know not. He said, I don't know which one to choose. Should I stay? Should I go? You know? And he puts it all in the hands of the Lord. This is his dilemma. He's torn between his desire to be with Christ. He says, that's far better. You know, it'd be so much better to be with the Lord. But he has his duty to serve him and to minister to others here. as people that needed him. These believers and also the unbelievers needed to hear the gospel that he preached. And he's in a bind between these two things. It's a narrow place in a strait between two, not knowing which way to go. He wanted to go to be with the Lord, but he's willing to stay. He was ready to go to heaven, but willing to stay on earth. Verse 24 says, "Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you." You see, Paul's he put his desires in last place in order to help others. He said, "This is for your good, that I stay here and minister for you. To abide here is more important for you, not for me." He says, "I'm ready to go and be with the Lord." So he says, "It's important that I stay." So he concludes that he will be staying. That's what he says in verse 25. "Having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith." So he settled it at this time. He says, "I'm willing to continue on." No doubt he was tired. Paul had been through so much, you know, there's a whole list of things that he suffered. He had an infirmity that was always with him. And now he's in prison. He could very easily say, "Well, I'm ready to go. Let's just, you know, forget it." But no. He says, "I want to stay and be a blessing to you." So he concludes that this is God's will for him. His work is not yet done. You know, that's the way it is with all of us, right? Our work is not done. If it was, we wouldn't be here, right? The Lord would call us home if we didn't have something that we're supposed to be doing. We just need to figure out what it is, right? Ask Him. He'll give us the indication if we'll look to Him and have the right attitude and follow in the way that He would lead us. So he concludes that he's going to be staying. And according to many commentators, Paul was released from prison. They think he had this first imprisonment, and then he was released and went and did ministry for quite some time. And then eventually, of course, they did rearrest him, and he was beheaded, right? He finally went to be with the Lord that he loved so much. And he got his wish. He got his desire, finally. But he went to be with the Lord triumphantly. So now Paul gives a warning here to the believers. In verse 27, he's giving them some advice and counsel. He says, "Only let your conversation be as it becometh the gospel of Christ." Now that word conversation there, it means conduct or behavior. It's an old English way of saying it. It doesn't mean just our speech, but it means all that we are and our citizenship. Be a citizen of heaven as well as a citizen here on earth, and let your conduct be that which would enhance the gospel. This is what he's saying to us, that it might become, it might be becoming or be worthy of the gospel of Christ. In other words, we say we're Christians, we need to live as Christians, right? And don't sneak around and do something we shouldn't be doing. You know what I mean. So he points out four areas here that believers need to guard in their lives. First of all, watching your conduct. And that's 1 Peter 2. 1 Peter 2 and verse 11. Seems like we read that in Sunday school this morning. I believe we did. But anyway, verse 11, maybe not. "Dearly beloved, I beseech you as strangers and pilgrims, abstain from fleshly lusts, which war against the soul, having your conversation honest among the Gentiles, that whereas they speak against you as evildoers, they may by your good works, which they shall behold, glorify God in the day of visitation. In other words, he says, live in such a way that people cannot condemn you, that you will enhance the gospel that you preach, that you teach. Stand fast in one spirit, he tells us. Strive together with one mind. Be united with one accord in your witness. This is what he's saying here, that you would strive together for the faith of the gospel. Stand fast in one spirit. Be united together in serving God. And be consistent in spite of whatever may come, whatever persecution, whatever trials. Stand fast, be consistent. Strive together, united, like a team. You know, thinking of the, I don't want to bring up any wounds or anything, but football, you know, I know the Eagles just lost their opportunity. But at any rate, if you are a team, you have to work together, don't you? You know, if you're going down the field, you can't have some of them going the wrong direction. Or, you know, you'll never get anywhere like that. A team has to be united together and have the same purpose in mind. You know, like when they line up, the offense wants to go and make that first down or make that touchdown. You know, that's the purpose. And anything else is secondary. We as Christians need to put the Lord first in our lives and seek to magnify and glorify Him and be a witness for Him. Like in the army, you know, in a battle, everyone has to be focusing on the same objective. And that's what we need to do as believers. We don't need to be scattered about in all directions. I think that's one of the big problems that we have today. So many going off in different directions, teaching various things that are not necessarily true. We need to stay with the Word of God and be united together in one accord, and to show courage in the midst of the conflict that we have. Be willing to suffer for Christ. He says in verse 29, notice this verse. For unto you it is given in the behalf of Christ not only to believe on Him. You say, I am a believer. I believe in Jesus Christ, right? He says, you're not only given to believe on Him, but also to suffer for His sake. See? That's something God has given to us. It's quite the gift, right? But anyway, to suffer for His sake, having the same conflict which you saw in me and now here to be in me. So He's saying here that it's nothing unusual for a believer to suffer for Christ's sake. I think it says that over in Epistle Peter 2, that we can expect to suffer if we are walking with the Lord. It says in Timothy, yea, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Right? God said to Joshua, over in Joshua chapter 1, He says, have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed. For the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest. See? Isn't that a wonderful thing? To know whatever we do as we live in this world, that God is with us. That's something. It's almost mind-blowing, isn't it, to know that the Lord is with you in everything that you do? You know, that's something that should make us stop and think, I guess. If the Lord's with me, then I need to be doing the right thing. Right? That's one way to look at it. And the other thing is, I say, the verse that everyone likes to quote so much, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Right? He's with me. He lives with me. The Holy Spirit lives in us. And he says, therefore, be strong and of a good courage. Joshua was getting to get ready to go into the promised land, right? Across the Jordan River that was flowing. And God divided the river for him. They went in, overthrew the city of Jericho, and started marching through the land. But he says, be strong. Be courageous. Don't be afraid. And that's so often, I think, that's something that we need to tell ourselves. If God be for us, who can be against us? What difference does it make? You know? And yet, so often, we fear. We are afraid. So often. And God needs to help us to be strengthened. So it's wonderful to know, you know, that we have a home in heaven. And someday we will go there to be with our Savior. And Paul says that's far better. Far better. It's not something to be afraid of or to dread. We're going to go to a place where everything will be right and perfect, and we'll be with our Lord. But that day hasn't come yet. Until then, we're needed here to serve the Lord, to share the gospel, to seek to live our lives in keeping with His will, purpose, and plan, to serve Him as we should. So may the Lord help us to dedicate ourselves, to commit ourselves to Him and to the task that He's given us. Ask the Lord, Lord, what do You want me to do? What do You think it might be? Think about that. And He'll show us if we ask Him. He showed Paul. Paul knew he was going to continue. We can ask Him as well. Father, thank You for Your word today. I hope it's an encouragement to all of us as we think this life is short and we only have a limited time to serve You here. And someday we'll be in Your presence forevermore. And we rejoice in that. We know that You are with us to help us in every situation that we face here. And I just ask You to give peace and joy and love to each one of us as we seek to serve You here in this world, that we might be faithful and true in all that we do and say. Help us, our Father, to live for Christ, to make Him our center of attention, our focus. May we walk in righteousness and truth and do Your holy will. We pray in Jesus' precious name. Amen.